that spectacle. In my lifetime, I've only seen the riot police firing tear gas into Hong Kong people during the 1967 riot, which was instigated by communist sympathizers. And I could not believe my eyes when I saw fully kitted out riot police firing tear gas and also pepper spray and wielding batons against unarmed protesters.
That was many particularly of whom, what it was like on Sunday.
Yes, many of whom were young people. They were totally defenseless. They had no arms. They were protesting peacefully.
But the authorities have rolled back from that kind of approach, haven't they, since then? The riot police haven't been out again in the way that they were.
They should never have
weekend.
Turned out the riot police in the first place, because we have a long tradition of very peaceful protests and demonstrations. July the 1st, the candlelight vigil commemorating 1989 Tiananmen, etc., etc. There is absolutely no need to use this sort of force against Hong Kong people.
But clearly, both the government of Hong Kong and the government in Beijing see a very clear threat to their authority from these thousands of people massed on the streets
of Hong Kong. It's totally unfounded. I see this more as evidence that both the SAR government and Beijing are determined to keep a tight grip over Hong Kong. They should ask themselves, what has led to this current state of affairs?
And what do you think has led to it?
It's entirely the fault of the SAR government in Beijing.
By the SAR government, you mean the Hong Kong government.
The Hong Kong government, because they have denied Hong Kong people a legitimate request asking Beijing to honour its promise to us to give us genuine universal suffrage for election of the chief executive in 2017.
Although the terms of the way that voting would work after the handover were never entirely spelled out, were they, in that agreement? Our correspondents have been telling us that it really depends on how you define the idea of the chief executive being chosen by a broadly representative group of people.
I don't think most Hong Kong people would agree with that. It's stated in black and white what is meant by universal suffrage, that is, the right not only to vote but to stand for election. It says that the nomination committee for the election of the chief executive must be broadly representative, and the process, nomination process, has to be democratic. And the international covenants on civil, political and social rights on universal suffrage also apply to Hong Kong.
But
so Hong Kong
really
people are very clear about what is meant by one man, one vote.
But do you really think that the Chinese authorities will consider allowing the people of Hong Kong to really have a complete free choice on who governs them as their chief executive?
Well, Beijing allowed Hong Kong people to have a very distinct system separate from the system prevailing in mainland. We have rights and freedoms. We
Indeed,
have the rule
that's
of
why
law.
That's why you're able to see these kind of protests on the streets of Hong Kong, which you wouldn't elsewhere in China.
And Beijing promised the people of Hong Kong one man, one vote. Now, what they are now claiming, of course, is yes, you can have one man, one vote, but only after we have pre-screened all the candidates and make sure that the outcome is 100% controlled.
What then should the British government to do to stand up for the rights and freedoms
about? After what has happened in the last few days, I hope the whole world is sitting up and taking notice. In particular, Britain, as the co-signatory of the Joint Declaration, surely can no longer pretend that one country, two systems is working and alive and well in Hong Kong. It patently is not. We see blatant interference from Beijing. We see repression against the people of Hong Kong. This sort of thing may go on in the mainland and may be tolerated because people have no choice. But it's not our way of life.
Anson Chan, thank you very much.